attention. Tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. Are you even real? And you are listening to WTSQ LP 88.1 FM, The Status Quo. I feel like I'm yelling into the microphone because I'm having to overcome a mask and a microphone cover. I was just sitting here before we ended that song thinking, how long has it been since I've actually been here within the walls of the radio station in the Blue Room?
Is beginning of March.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is insane.
But I'll tell you one, it's so good to see you back in your element.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I know you prefer to do it from home, and I don't blame you.
Yeah, just right now.
Yeah.
Just right now. Plus, I mean, where else could I host a radio show with a cat on my lap?
Like, right.
If I could bring my cat here.
Yeah.
But then it would be scared, and it wouldn't be on my lap. It would be under the Hep C couch in the green room. So that wouldn't work.
No.
No. So, but it is good to be here. And it's a very special occasion. Very special occasion that brings me here. We have an interview with...
Thurston Moore.
Oh, my God.
Of Sonic Youth.
I'm not worthy.
Other projects. Most famously for Sonic Youth.
Yes.
And it was it's been such an amazing day. And
it has been.
But thank you so much. And it's been the best day, actually.
It's been
We've been working all day since 9 a.m.
You have been working all day.
Since 9 a.m.
I've been doing miscellaneous chores around the house while you've been editing your little heart out.
Yeah, so, yes. Thank you, Thurston Moore. Thank you, Heather Johnson. Thank you, everyone
who helped. Thank you, Tom Sloan. Thank you, Chris Long.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lavender.
Yes.
Thank you to Emily Bean, Brittany McComas, Mick Wiseman. Thank you, thank you. Full of gratitude this evening. Full of gratitude.
Yeah, it's an amazing interview. You will not be disappointed. Keep it tuned, WTSQ.
Yes, so we're going to start off by playing some new sounds from Thurston's album that has already been released, partially not on vinyl in the States yet, but it's out on vinyl in the UK.
Yeah.
By the Fire. And it was released the end of September, correct?
September 25th, yeah.
And then in the US, the vinyl will be available after October 30th.
Oh, on October 30th.
On October 30th.
Through Rough Trade Records, I believe. Yeah.
Perfect. So now that you have the deets, let's listen to some tunes.
Yes.
We're going to start with Hashish or Hashish.
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 Right. Either or. Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you.
It's all that I am feeling now. Support for WTSQ comes from Big River Records, a full-service media production studio located in downtown Charleston, offering professional audio and video services for musicians and podcasters. More information at Big River Records on Facebook.
Support for WTSQ is being provided by Festive Fall. Festive Fall will turn a season into a work of art October 10th through the 17th, featuring local and national theater experiences from home. Virtual performances include Shrek by the Charleston Light Opera Guild, Othello by the American Shakespeare Center, and more. Full schedule at festivalcharleston.com/events.
Underwriting for WTSQ is brought to you by Rose City Recording, a full-service audio production facility located in downtown Charleston, recording, editing, and mixing audio for all styles of music, as well as voiceover and podcast. Information at rosecityrecording.com or email rosecityrecording@gmail.com.
622, and you're listening to 90% 90s, 10% of the time. My name is Heather Johnson, and I'm joined in studio by none other than Mr. Breaking Down the Pressure, Tom Sloan himself.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Heather. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I am so wonderful today.
We are socially distancing.
Yes.
We're masked. We're gloved.
But we are in the blue room of the WTSQ studio, high upon the 8th floor of the Union Building in downtown Charleston.
I miss this view.
Yeah.
I've missed this view. Quick thank you to go out to Big River Records, Festive Fall, and Rose City Recording. If you or your organization would like to become an underwriter for us here at WTSQ, please email us info@WTSQ.org. And you want to, let's just get into this first portion of the interview.
Yeah.
People are waiting. Let's give them what they're tuning in for. We did listen to Hashish, Titanium Exposé, which is Sonic Youth. And then the last song that we heard before you heard my masked voice was Calligraphy. And that is also a cut off of By the Fire. So here is the first portion of our fantastic interview that was live at the Dollhouse this morning with none other than Mr. Thurston Moore.
Hello, this is Thurston Moore. I think I'm supposed to be talking to Heather Johnson.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
Good morning or afternoon.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Tom Sloan, and I'm joined by Heather Johnson.
Tom Sloan and Heather Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it? Got your name, secret. What's happening?
Kind of at loss for words right now. It's just so honored to have you on the phone right now.
Cool.
What's things like in London right now?
It's okay. You know, we're just sort of getting into some colder weather, and it's like living on an island here. It's really temperate, so it'll rain for a couple hours, and then there'll be some blue skies, and then grayness. So, yeah, it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
But no, it's nice. So, you know, I've been here for years, so
yeah,
I've learned to like it.
Well, you live on the East Coast for a long time, so you're kind of used to, cloudy, cold weather. Yeah.
Well, they don't have, living in New York and in Western Massachusetts and Connecticut, they don't have, ice storms here and that kind of, extreme winter weather, which, I kind of miss and don't miss, as they say, you got to drop your anchor somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. How long have you been in London now? I'm sorry?
About 8 years.
8 years, okay. I'm sorry.
Where are you? You're in Charleston?
Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Charleston, West Virginia before?
Sonic just played in Charleston like around the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's the last, that might have been the last time I was in Charleston. And there was some cool club there. God, I just remember, I almost feel like we played there with this band called Happy Flowers. This really funny, weird band from North Carolina or something. And,
I'll have to research that.
It was a while ago. You might want to do a little research. But there was this cool, there was some kind of cool club in Charleston at that time that people would play at.
Could it have been the Empty Glass? Does that ring a bell?
That rings a bell.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
It
could be that.
The Empty Glass is basically an institution here in Charleston. So before the pandemic, there's live music 7 days a week. And now it's a little different, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're hoping it survives.
Yeah, really. I mean, all these venues are just so dependent on musicians playing there. And vice versa, so it's kind of that relationship has become much more apparent while we kind of don't work together. I've been doing some shows, streaming shows, where some of the revenue goes to the venue that we're associated with here in London.
That's awesome.
Just like an experimental music, there's an experimental music venue nearby here where I live called Cafe Otto, O-T-O. And we did something inside of their space last week, and it was a streaming event, and we shared the revenue that way. And so we're thinking of doing more of those within, respect of the restrictions that are going on and off every day.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
So you got a brand new album just came out, By the Fire, and
that's right.
And they came out, well, the vinyl comes out on October 30th, is that right?
I think, yeah. I mean, okay. it's different release dates in the USA and, okay. and UK, Europe. It's already out here.
On vinyl? And, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, but, yeah, it comes out a little later in the USA, and I think that has a lot to do with just the distribution situation between the UK and the USA and the shipping, and
right.
things are slowed down because a lot of, obviously a lot of mail activity is a lot slower now.
So tell us, what got you back in the studio to record this new album?
Well, I did three different sessions that this album is comes from,
uh-huh.
and I sequenced it using songs from these three different sessions that I had done in the last year with my band here. I have a group here that's primarily, well, it's myself, definitely, and Deb Googe plays mm-hmm. bass, and you know her from My Bloody Valentine. And
yes, we do.
Yeah.
And Steve Shelley plays drums, but only on one song. He only played on one of these sessions. It was when he was over here. He lives in New Jersey, so it's a bit of a long-distance affair with Steve.
Right.
But yeah, he's my primary drummer. But most of the almost every other song on the record, besides the one Steve plays on, which is called Breath, is this drummer in London called Jem Dalton, Jem Dalton, and he's great. He's a really wonderful drummer. And so it's me, Deb, Jem, and the guitar player, the first person I started playing with here in London, whose name is James Sedwards, who's like this obviously he was fantastic. Guitarist. Yeah. And I just started playing with him years ago, and then he brought Deb into the band because they're old friends, and I knew Deb. And so we started playing as a trio, and then Steve started playing with us, and we did a record called The Best Day.
Yeah.
And that's the first time we actually ever played together and heard each other. Did some touring and through the next couple of years, and then I did another record called Rock and Roll Consciousness. Again, it was me, Deb, James, and Steve. And one of the song that Steve plays on this record, comes from that session, and I didn't use it on Rock and Roll Consciousness because the song was just way too intense and heavy, and it kind of like disturbed the sequence of that record, and so I just held on to it thinking I would use it, which I did, and for this record. And then I did a triple CD box last year called Spirit Council, which was basically just three really long extended guitar compositions that were entirely instrumental,
uh-huh.
and something I wanted to do for years, and I really worked on creating these compositions, recorded it with the group, and that was where Jem Dalton, the drummer, comes in, and then also this electronics musician named John Leidecker,
yeah.
who records under the name Rob Lee, that's like his DJ name, and he's part of Negative Land, the San Francisco kind of culture jamming group, and he does like the Negative Land radio show in San Francisco. I played with him, I met him a couple of years ago in the context of us both being involved with this project of playing the music of John Cage, and that was really cool. And so we became friends because of our shared interests, and he started touring with us as a solo artist, playing electronic music before we went on stage, and then I had him join the group, and it became amazing with him. And so he recorded some of the music with us on Spirit Council, and we toured that for like a year and a half, which was really fun, because we'd come out and play like a 60-minute long instrumental piece of music as our set, which was always really kind of polarizing for the audience, and I loved it, and it kind of informed me. It kind of informed how I wanted this record to be, such as By the Fire. I kind of wanted to have a balance between this kind of liberated idea of expanded electric guitar music, as well as kind of the more economical, like just sonic pop rock nuggets, you know, that kind of songwriting. And so, I sort of sequenced these songs into a narrative that I felt was worth putting out there and calling it By the Fire. And, you know, a lot of it sort of was defined by how this 2020 was sort of shaping up to be such a weird year for the entire world to be experiencing together. And so I wanted to sort of have it be some kind of emotional commentary on our contemporary situation. And, and that's about it. I mean, that really defined how I sequenced the record. And again, the narrative I wanted to put out there and how I wanted the record to look, the name of it, all these things.
Well, you started writing it before the pandemic, right? And then...
Oh, yeah.
So how did...
I mean, we sort of got it going into quarantine in March, right?
And
I kind of was sort of thinking about putting together a record that would come out this year. It became more focused as we went into quarantine. I started thinking about more of how I wanted it to sound. But yeah, the material was all in the can, as they say.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see how the album would have came out had the pandemic or quarantine not happened, I guess. But that kind
of... Yeah, I mean, you know, it probably would have come out more near the end of the year, if not like after the new year, which would have been more logical.
Yeah.
Because it's you kind of don't want to compete in the record industry of around the holidays with all these kind of big ticket items that are coming out, and there's an influx of records that always happen around this time anyway, and so you kind of want to be a little bit more of a big fish in a small pond,
right.
And so you try to find a place where there's less competitive activity in the marketplace. So it's usually kind of after the new year, like records like mine would come out, but I really wanted it to come out as soon as possible. I was really pushing for it to come out because I wanted it to come out before, like, the general elections in early November,
right.
And in the USA, because I just felt like I wanted to have a record that brought some kind of energy into the world of noise, where there's just so much kind of wacko clatter in the air, you know, with all the kind of the political noise and that's been going on. And I thought I think this is really good for artists, musicians, filmmakers to actually put out more kind of thoughtful, intellectual work and work that has a bit of a dignity and regard for the exchange it has with society, you know, and which is completely the opposite of what we hear so much going on right now, you know, like in the social media world of noise. So I just kind of that was kind of my intention for sure.
So what's it like promoting an album during quarantine or a pandemic? I mean, I'm sure it's been much... I mean, you can't go out and tour the album. Well, you've been doing some streaming shows, but, I mean, how has it been different? Like,
I don't know, man. I mean, I wish I was touring. I was supposed to be touring. I mean, it's the one thing that is a real problem for working musicians, because most of your revenue, if any, comes from the work you do, touring and traveling and getting gigs and, you know, putting records out these days is like the remuneration is pretty limited, unless you're kind of a huge selling artist. I mean, I do kind of okay when I put a record out, you know, but I mean, it's like, you know, I do much better in the context of like Sonic Youth records coming out that are more historical kind of things. And I understand that, but it's like, you know, putting a solo record out, it's just like, you know, it's like, I do it because I love to do it, and my expectation for some kind of compensation for sales is fairly challenged, because I don't think there's no real situation anymore where you can where artists sell so many records, unless you're, you know, like Taylor Swift or something, I guess. I've never been to that echelon.
Yeah.
You know, and I really think Bandcamp is like a decent format for a platform for a lot of musicians, because it's not hierarchical and everybody has a shared value, and you can sort of create your own sort of pay rate on it. The fact that Bandcamp itself allows artists to have 100% of the revenue on their so-called Bandcamp Fridays once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only platform I find that has that gives any dignity to like the working musician as far as recording and putting music out. I certainly don't see it with the other digital distribution of music, be it Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. It's like that's like pennies per pound, you know.
Right.
Maybe you could buy a buy some donuts at the end of the week with whatever you do on those platforms.
A cup of coffee.
While the CEOs are like billionaires, like raking in the profits of these artists, so that's disturbing and annoying.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing album. I mean, it's already gotten lots of rave reviews. Yeah. I mean, I'm always excited when you put something new out, and it's always even better.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I felt like it was put together rather modestly. I wasn't really putting this record together with some kind of major hype machine. But, you know, I felt like after I put it together, it was one of those things where I realized the way I sequenced it, and the way it looked and everything, there was something about it I thought, like, oh, this actually is pretty cool. And I wasn't quite sure what the feedback was, because it's like, you never really know what the critique will be on your music, and there's a lot of anxiety towards that kind of thing. But, it immediately sort of started getting, like, really nice, good energy reviews. So I've been really happy about it, it's kind of a thing where it's super frustrating that I can't go out and travel about. I've been sort of focusing on my time at home here in London, on writing, and I've been writing this really extensive manuscript that I want to publish maybe next year, called Sonic Life, which is just essaying on the experience of being young and what those discoveries in music and culture are, and like the documents, like the first records you hear, the first fanzines and magazines, and these things that define a lot of your own sensibility. And I still want to talk at length about those pieces, those documents, whether it's Patti Smith's first 7-inch or some issue of like Roxine magazine from 1978, or hearing the first Sex Pistols record or some things like this. We're talking about it at length, about like why those documents are so significant, not only to you as a teenager, but to like others, and because knowing that it's really marginalized, especially at the time, it was pretty completely arcane and underground, and that kind of collective consciousness that you go towards. And for me, it was like going towards New York City, and in the late 70s, and then by 1980, forming this group, Sonic Youth. And so I wanted to sort of write really in detail about that, about all these things that lead to that, and what they are, and talk about the environment, talk about the geography, the city, the social strata, just the galaxy of different people, creative impulses, that kind of thing. And so I've been having this downtime has allowed me to really like get into that, because when you tour and travel, it's just like it's just a series of distractions, until you're actually playing the gig, and then you're kind of wiped out, and you're just like, it's trying to find the energy to write while you're on tour is very difficult. So I've been sort of taking advantage of this situation.
Support for WTSQ by The Healing Tree, providing the capital city with high-quality and locally sourced CBD oils, creams, gummies, pet products, and more. Located at 225 Hale Street in downtown Charleston, and online at thehealingtreewv.com.
Underwriting for WTSQ provided by Elk City Records. Curating albums and singles at 311 Washington Street West, Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 6. More information at 681-265-9468 or elkcityrecords.com.
Support for WTSQ comes from Tony the Tailor, where sophistication meets irreverence in a unique shopping experience for discerning gentlemen. located at 822 Virginia Street in Charleston. More information at bestmastertailor.com.
You're listening to 90% 90s, 10% of the time on WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, the status quo.
We'll be right back.
All right, 657. You're listening to WTSQ LP 88.1 FM, The Status Quo. This is 90% 90s, 10% of the time. My name is Heather Johnson. I am joined in studio by Mr. Tom Sloan. This is a very special edition of 90% 90s. Tom and I had the opportunity to talk to Thurston Moore this morning, live in the dollhouse in the kitchen. Yes. And thankfully, a cat didn't walk across the laptop.
Yeah. Well, they were... Yeah, your cats are so well-behaved. I'm very jealous.
You say that.
Yeah.
You say that.
Yeah.
Actually, they were pretty on there pretty... They were behaving pretty well today. There were no computer issues.
No.
Buffy just wanted your attention all day.
Yeah, she wanted my chow tie.
All of
which
them.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, all of them wanted your chow tie. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's just a given.
Yeah.
That's just a given. So, wow.
Yeah, what an amazing day. This is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And we have, okay, so yeah. Let's talk about, let me come down off of my fangirl cloud. And we heard Siren, which was, that might actually be my favorite song.
Really?
On
Off by the
by
Fire.
The fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be my favorite song so far. And then, of course, we had to listen to something off of Goo. So we had My Friend Goo.
Well, I say my favorite tracks probably right now, I mean, they're all good. But, you know, it changes. But I'd say Cantaloupe. But you played Cantaloupe on your show last week. So.
I did.
So thank you for premiering it last
week. I was trying to give people like a heads up without giving them like anything obvious. But here's new Thurston Moore. Here's a gift. Here is a gift from me to you.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get to the second part of our interview. And I think there's some funny stuff in the second part.
It's all good.
It is. Yeah. It was all great. But yeah, here is part two. So you've told us basically about how By the Fire was a big collaboration. Is there anyone that you haven't worked with yet that you're just dying to collaborate with?